Welcome to the Bangers List podcast, a podcast where we discuss a new song every week from our ever-growing playlist we've been cultivating for a few years in the hopes of expanding our own personal libraries and preferences to places we may not have gotten on our own. Right? Would you say that's what it is, boys?
I agree.
Yeah, more Beautiful. Or less.
I think you're reading from the notes perfectly there.
Excellent. Yep. So like all millennials that have had a good conversation, we started this podcast, right?
Yeah.
Funny that we're telling you our musical is personal and then we end up giving opinions anyway. So this week we're going to be looking at... What's the band Mark, called?
The band's called For All Those Sleeping.
And the song is?
Mark My Words.
Beautiful. Julian, Daniel, how you doing, boys?
Good, mate. And yourself?
Yeah, good to be back. Let's jump into a sample and we'll talk about the song. So... This song's been on the playlist for about 2 years now.
Yeah. This one. I think I put this one on.
Yeah, you did it yourself, yeah.
It would have been nearly 2 years. Yeah, it was right when we were listening. I found this record around Christmas time, 2017, 2018, and this song particularly just stuck out a lot for me. So I was sort of listening to it over and over and over, and I thought, Joel might like this.
Perfect. Good. That's what the playlist was for. Beautiful. So I'm doing this with my fingers because I was going to say something, but no one else can see this.
There are two things
I was going to say, but it's after the last 2 weeks of podcasts we've done, we talked about Slipknot and we talked about Parkway Drive, right? And I'm glad we've come back to a band that isn't necessarily like massive globally, a small band. And, you know, this is one of those songs, you know, you might have missed because you're not in the mainstream spotlight kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So beautiful because of that. It's just straight up metalcore. This song, I'm going to say it's metalcore basically. It's got the, you know, the screams, it's got the clean.
I'd go as far as calling it vocals. Like, yeah. You know, like there's a million genres for everything, and I normally don't like the super sub-genres, but I think the term easycore is a good sort of analysis of this one.
So by that you mean like
okay, all right, yeah,
core so, that's easy to listen to?
Well, kind of, yeah.
Easy
So no, like it, as I understand it, easycore is like bands like everything from These Guys to A Day to Remember.
Oh, yeah.
Even like Sleeping with Sirens, I'm actually going to reference them later on. It's that... It's not super complex and it's got that nice like pop punk choruses and those like really big heavy sort of breakdowns and stuff. So it's a nice mix between, like I said, pop punk and metalcore. So that's sort of easycore.
Yeah, so a stepping stone into the genre almost.
Yeah.
And going off what we said last week or maybe the week before, would you say it's more relatable than most metal genres? Is that
like as a music style to
to wider audience?
Yeah, it's more approachable.
Yeah.
I definitely think so.
Mm-hmm.
Like it does have a lot of the really heavy stuff, but you know, the really sort of pop punk friendly cleans and stuff like that, it has those in spades. So again, bands like Polaris we've talked about before as well, where they're more melodic, but they're more accessible. And the mainstream can like look at that, and the same as Reverence.
It should all be mainstream now. I guess the only thing that wouldn't be mainstream is what Pig Squeals, and then songs just have screams the whole way through.
Grindcore,
yeah. So we're thinking Thy Art is Murder, Infinite Annihilator, and that kind of.
Well, I reckon Thy Art's actually getting a bit more exposure, but yeah, I think by virtue of what they are, they're definitely still kind of like mainstream proof.
Yes, like a lot of the public would kind of turn their nose up at some of these more heavier bands, is what we're going at, and this band is not one of those. Easy call. There you go.
Cool. Good to know.
Did either of you guys ever heard that one before? Or am I just,
that's new to me.
That's like mosh core. No one else knew that one.
We've talked about easy core ourselves before because like, stepping stone for the public to get into the genre.
Yeah.
Anyway, it is also quite simply structured, which is another thing, which is probably a pop inspired thing. You know, it's got chorus, verse, chorus shit, and like breakdowns. Basically, that's how this one kind of is structured. Not exactly like that. But that's kind of the go, which makes it easy and fun to listen to. You know, the chorus is coming. You can sing along because it's so catchy.
Yeah.
Almost gross.
Well, I mean, getting straight into it, like this is from a record called Outspoken. Mm. It was the second record these guys did. They did three in total. They Cross Your Fingers, Outspoken, and then Incomplete Me, I believe the third one was. They were around for about 7 years. They broke up in 2014, just for a quick history.
Bit of a heartbreaker.
Yeah. Well, one thing I wanted to mention as well that I thought was interesting was that with the exception of picking up the clean singing bass player 1 year into their career, they didn't have one before that, as that's been documented. They didn't have a lineup change from the inception to the end of, like, you know, the terminus of the band. that I can find anywhere. So I think that that's not super significant, but I mean, you know, there are a lot of bands that are good, but they go through like drummers, bass players, guitarists, even vocalists, like we talked about with Vale of Maya. So I think it is sort of there to be mentioned that they started it together and they finished it together as well.
Yeah, because they were all friends from school. I think it was 7 years the band was together. And, you know, usually bands break up for negative reasons.
Yeah.
But these guys just said they'd kind of accomplished what they wanted to accomplish. Yeah, they're going to go their own separate ways. Yeah. The lead vocalist,
Mike Chamber,
hear in this song, he does rap now or hip hop kind of music. Right. So he's gone his own direction completely. It's not as famous as this band was, but if he's enjoying it, fuck yeah, right? Yeah.
So they're from St. Cloud in Minnesota, I believe.
Uh-huh.
It's really weird getting your head around the idea of a town called St. Cloud. Is anything St. anything?
Yeah.
It just seems a bit weird. Even though, like, I've got family from St. Arnold or St. Arnold in Victoria. Just I saw that and I went, oh, St. Cloud.
So you can come from anywhere.
You've got, like, the town called Cloud. There's really, really, like, brutal in your face band.
All the problems I had from the small town, I'm going to sing about them to the world stage. Yeah, look, dude, because obviously you're a singer, Daniel, and this song has I'm going to say every week. It's got these pop punk cleans we talk about quite often where the chorus is meant to be catchy. It's quite high pitch. In some instances, it's quite nasally, quite whiny. We talk about it a lot. I know you're not a fan of it in some cases. Especially, I'm not a fan of it either when it gets like really nasally.
Yeah.
This one is getting close, but I wanted to know, besides that being awful, is this one auto-tuned? And is auto-tuning really prevalent in this genre? And does it affect it negatively?
That's a fair bit.
There will be auto. I'd imagine. One star because I'm talking shit here, but I imagine there would be a little bit of auto-tune in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, pitch correction.
Sorry,
pitch correction. Sorry.
Yeah, more so.
Those are two different things, aren't they?
No, more.
I thought pitch correction was slightly less egregious than.
Well, I think,
but it could be like that's like a
two-star. You could be right. Yeah, you could be right there, but. Yeah, pitch correction, I think, is maybe like a form of auto-tune.
Yeah.
So we've done pitch correction before on some stuff we've done, and it's just like if the note is wrong, you kind of move it up to where you want it.
Mm.
I think auto-tune is like a plug-in
for,
let's say,
and
fix it up for you.
Well, I think the other thing is too, when people think auto-tune, they think like fucking Little John or whatever his name is. It's just
T-Pain.
Like a cancerous amount of auto-tune.
Yeah. And it's more so used for effect and you hear them without the effect on. It's like, what the hell am I listening to?
I have seen a few live clips of them doing this song and it was like that relive the moment, that sort of like semi-pro kind of shot. So it's like the single angle, but they've got a decent mix on it. So London Snetzinger is the guy's name. He's a clean singing bass player. He sounds pretty good live. I think, as with a lot of vocalists, he sort of maybe a little bit struggles to hit the absolute high end.
Like falsetto kind of notes?
Like really up there. But again, that could be sort of what we talked about a while back with like tour fatigue as well. Maybe the version you saw was them on the end of a 30-day tour and your voice is just sort of giving out. But I don't, as far as auto-tunes, I don't think so, because I reckon he can do it live pretty well. But, you know, I don't know what goes on in the studios too much, so that could be sort of any kind of studio magic there.
I think it's a preferential thing. Some really good singers won't, not only will they not need it, but they'll sound better without it, right? Like a really strong, rich voice isn't going to need auto-tune to get hitting the notes or feel the sounds for it all, you know?
Yeah, and it goes back to what we say quite often about remaining raw, right?
Yeah, we like that raw feeling sometimes.
Yeah. So it depends on what you're going for, and I think, you know, I don't have a problem with auto-tune because it's technology and it's used to increase the quality of the record. And it's just different when it's used for effect. I think, you know, you got to sort of keep that in mind when we're talking auto-tune, whether it's used for effect or whether it's used for pitch correction. You know, that's just something to take into consideration. Yeah,
if you're using it as an effect or you're using it because you need it, like it's carrying you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think when it's used subtly, just to sort of anything that's, you know, to turn it from like a 99% correct note to a 100% correct note, that's fine. Like that's what the mixing's for.
Yeah.
At the end of the day.
This is going to sound weird. I need to like show you guys my hands. When you're singing a note, right, you can say that the note is in like a circle. Right. And perfect pitch is right in the center of that circle. And if you're going off the note itself, you're kind of going close to the edge and bleeding into your other notes.
Yeah.
So that's why auto-tune can help you like really nail the center of that note, the pitch, right on the pitch. Is that right? Do you like these images I'm giving? So that's a way to think of pitch and getting it spot on.
Yeah. Right? Before I got sidetracked earlier, as usual, what I was going to sort of say in regards to the our structure of the album and the songs, they're all that sort of in the sweet spot, like right in the pocket of 3.5, 4 minutes. And structurally, they're all quite similar in that they use a lot of chugs for the verses, and then they'll have that really powerful kind of, I don't know if it's power chords. I just always say power chords because people go, oh yeah, I get what you mean. They'll have that really pop punky kind of, chorus with the big cleans coming through and, like just the same 3-stroke punk beat on the drums. And that's how they all sort of, not all, not every single one of them, but that how at least like half a dozen of them go. So there's not an insane amount of, you know, variety, I guess, across the album, if you want to look at it from that respect, but it doesn't mean it's not enjoyable.
Yeah, we also say if you've got a formula, you can stick to it.
Oh, AC/DC, am I right? They did it for, they've been doing it for
that dude's been doing the money beat for like, 40 years, the same drum beat.
And it's the same, they stick to like the same 3, 4, 5 chords on, you know, cycle through them and the people still listen to it. It's very approachable music, like we were saying earlier, and it's, and you know, stood the test of time. And you know, if it's like that saying, why fix it if it's not broken? And they've persisted with that for years, and many bands have kind of followed suit. Some like to mix it up every single record, or even within the record, like the songs will be structured and sound completely different. But
Look, absolutely, it's not a criticism of them. I don't particularly like listening to the same structural song over and over. Part of the reason I didn't like Amity's Misery record, because they all felt the same, and that's a band that I fucking love. So that's personal preference, but that's could be me being neurotic as well and just not sort of enjoying the music as I do. So that's, again, that's like Joel always says, that's personal preference. But as far as the lyrics were concerned, I will touch on Mike Ciampa, the lead singer who does the Uncleans, who's fucking really good live.
He's really good live.
Yeah, he's all chest voice, I reckon. Because he's got that really good high upper spectrum scream, and then that lower end growl as well, and he blends the two together well. I forget exactly where I read it, so we'll call this like a 3.5 star, but he did an interview regarding the record, and I think like his band was accused of like not writing their own record. They said that they were accused of, you know, going to a studio and a producer basically saying, like, you're a generic kind of metalcore band. It's easycore and we can pump out a record really easy that people will just love. And he got really pissed off about that. So, like, the name of the record's Outspoken. And I think he addresses a lot of things directly on this record, although lyrically, I don't think he addresses them directly. But there's a lot of things that have pissed him off. So he talks about each of them kind of vaguely but directly at the same time, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
This one, I believe, was about a friend he had who like lived, like he moved in with him, lived in his house and like sort of abused his friendship, took advantage of him a little bit, and he sort of got the shits and ended up kicking him out or something. So this is kind of what that one's about.
They touch on that it's about being taken for granted.
Yeah.
And you've lost or removed that person from your life.
Yeah.
And the emotions you feel going through that kind of process. Yeah. That's, you know, a really common subject matter, and we talk about it a lot, this whole how you think emotions and relationships breaking down. But it's not actually a love relationship. It's just, like a friendship or something, I guess.
There you go. Yes, my initial thoughts were to, you know, a partner that he's had enough of, or he was cheated on.
I've always got cheated on.
It's a common one, yeah.
But you can be cheated on in different ways. You know, I guess you can be let down and stabbed in the back.
Yeah, pretty much.
If you know what I mean.
to summarize the long story medium, that's the content of the record itself is very much in tone with that outspoken kind of, like, he's just teeing off at everybody. He's like, fuck you for this reason and fuck you for that reason, and all you over there can get fucked as well, and this guy, he can get fucked, and fuck everyone that's not my mum, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
So he's just gone, bugger it, I'm going to have a go at everybody. You know what I mean? And right, just really angry lyrics like we're talking about. That's good. People love that. People love it. Like a song they can fucking really get into and be like, oh yeah, someone fucked me over once. Like this, you know, this angers me, and we've all been there. It angers me, but it also comforts me.
Mm.
Like it,
cathartic.
It's cathartic. Exactly right. So it helps you as much as it enrages you, I guess.
Yeah. I was going to go further into that, but like we'll be here for hours just spitting shit about. Now I want to move on to, you know, we talk about money and these bands go through like money issues and they can't figure it out. I couldn't find a single thing about these guys having money problems or struggling because of money. You know, they accomplished their goals and stopped the band, like we said. But on their Facebook page and stuff after they'd broken up, they were selling off all their old merch and stuff like that and stuff they'd owned. And like a couple of the band members sold clothing they'd actually worn a couple of times that said, you know, the band's name on it. Like, you know, I wore this for a few shows and $20 or whatever.
Yeah.
And auctioning their stuff to try and get a little bit of funds to forward their careers, I guess. So that's an interesting little tidbit there, isn't it? Like maybe
One thing I noticed with these guys, all the live videos I've seen, they're all wearing denim cuts. And I mean cut as in like KUTTE, which is the German word for the cut off vests. Like motorcycle vests. Like not so much motorcycle gangs, but those denim cut offs. And they all seem to be wearing them in a lot of the stuff that I've seen them in. So I don't know, maybe that's like a
style.
Maybe it's a style, yeah, from like the Minnesota area or
interesting.
You know what I mean? Like there's all those, it could be they could just all like them or it could be a thing. They could all be in fucking bikey gangs, who knows? But it was just weird. Yeah. Cause you see them and you watch a couple of different live clips and they're all like, some of them got different colors on. So maybe that was just the style and they just went, hey, this is us or it's over there. And cause you know, America's a melting pot. It's like British accents. You drive 50 kilometers and it's completely different. So as far as style's concerned, it could be the same thing.
Yeah. Like that's just what you wear if you're in
a I did notice it was weird. I've never seen a whole band wearing like cut off denim jackets. Yeah. With like big patches on them and stuff. So
twist their own.
Yeah.
I dig it. Look, I do actually like this song. I don't know if that came across in what I've been saying about it. It's grown on me. But the guitar work, it seems, so there's this, when you're playing guitar for me, there's this thing where if you are good at guitar, the things you do look effortless and the harder thing you do effortless is kind of your skill level. Does that make sense? And these guys, I saw a little bit of them live actually, they're all fine, looked good, but the guitar is quite simple, right? Just these chugs and stuff.
Yeah.
Not moving through anything wildly intricate or I don't want to say hard but or difficult, but it all seems really straightforward. Do you reckon it's all quite easy? Does the rest of the album sound so similar that you think the guitar is the same?
Just to clarify that, I don't think every song sounds identical.
Mm.
There are structurally a lot of similarities. Another one on this record, we'll talk about that later on, but yes, they are very much the same and similar.
Yeah, so it's like, again, it's not trying to be any of this progressive metal intricacy. It's just basic straight up metal.
I think it's straight up metal.
Yeah, belt the shit out of your strings, smash some chords that are just like bar chords kind of thing because you've got drop strings going on and it's all easy to play, fun to play. And if you want to learn yourself, this song's actually quite easy to learn as well. But stop being so quiet, mate. Tell me what you reckon.
No, I pretty much agree with what you have to say there. I haven't given it a big look. Haven't looked into the material itself and how it's, you know, how it's been written and what kind of chord structures they've got going on there and what shapes they're using. But to listen to, it does sound relatively straightforward to play. And wouldn't say easy by any means. It depends on what you compare it to as well, but it sounds like it's something that if you are familiar with that style of playing, you could pick it up very quickly. So if you've played a lot of metalcore before, if you'd shredded some Parkway songs before, some Killswitch songs, whatever it might be, you'd be able to pick up on this pretty quickly because it's quite a familiar technique, if that makes sense.
It doesn't
sound overly complex, but could be wrong. You know, have to actually have a look. Sometimes it can catch you off guard and you'd be like, how the hell do they do this? You know?
that's a fair point.
It's
to go again with this personal preference thing. I don't mind that sound, but, you know, just simple chugs, as we said.
I fucking love it.
Yeah.
I just love filthy generic chord. You know what I mean?
Generic chord, another one.
No, look, again, everything I've said critically of these guys, I don't think they're a bad band. It's also there to be said that it's America. And America has, like, metalcore bands in America are a fucking dime a dozen. Do you know what I mean? Which doesn't mean that they're bad, but they're everywhere, and there's a lot of them. So if one band doesn't do it for you, then the odds are that there's going to be a half dozen around the corner that will do it for you. So I think they definitely weren't a niche market band. They were just one of those like, sort of easygoing metalcore bands that a lot of people could relate to and listen to and fill that role.
You go see them at a festival. You may not have heard of them much before, but you're like, oh, these guys sound good. Yeah. I'm going to go check them out.
Or like, even like the amount of like undercard spots these guys would get or bands they'd bring on tour with them. You know, just these, all these bands moving around constantly. So you'll go and see one live and then their support will be fucking unreal, or you'll go and see a band because they're the support and you might see the headliner and like them too. So
yeah, and that's kind of the point of the playlist again. I'm glad I get to speak about it, because as we get older, we don't get to go to as much festivals and see as many bands because we're busy working. But the playlist is a way that we share bands we might have missed out on.
Yeah.
Right. So that's why we're here doing this. Thank you. Beautiful. I'm glad to bring that up.
That's all right.
So, we'll just jump into some bands and songs that are like these guys. I had a few written down and you guys can agree or not. If you do like these guys, you might like A Day to Remember, right?
Yeah.
It's some of their stuff. I know that's a very mainstream band. So, on the other end of the spectrum, I have a bit of a slightly smaller band, Ice Nine Kills, who I don't think they're actually on the playlist, but it's a similar kind of sound to Screams, some cleans here and there, and they're not massively popular, but no. There's a similar sound. And another good song by these guys is
Backstabber.
That's the one.
I was going to say.
It almost sounds exactly the same, doesn't it?
They're very, very similar.
So that song was originally on the playlist, and we were going to talk about that song specifically, maybe in a double header, but we decided, you know what, we'll just do Mark My Words and Backstabber. The fans can find it themselves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you blokes, any thoughts? Similar bands?
Similar bands. I thought Sleeping With Sirens.
Okay. Because of the high-pitched falsetto. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I was going to bring up earlier.
For me, Sleeping With Sirens are just a Kellan Quinn's vocals are just a bit overkill for me. They cross that line a little bit too much. A bit too nasally. Like, he's a great singer. Absolutely phenomenal voice, but it's too high, too whiny for me.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't listen to it for long.
Another example of that's the guy from Pierce the Veil, Vic Fuentes. It's kind of like he's really.
That was the other. I was trying to think of
Yeah.
So I love both those bands, actually.
And fuck, you don't talk about them. The reason I wanted to bring them up was the first record these guys did, Cross Your Fingers. I've only heard about half of it, but they definitely had that more pop punky style. They were closer to a band like Sleeping With Sirens who have. They've got that, it's like metalcore, but they turn the distortion on their amps down about halfway. Weird way to put it, but they're heavy, but then they're complicated a little bit more, but they're not super heavy. So I think of a band like Hands Like Houses. They're a lot more complicated musically, instrumentally, but they're not as heavy. They turn the distortion down a little bit.
It's getting close to a clean sound without being, extremely clean, because what happens as you turn up the gain more and more and you play a chord, it just washes itself out in the
game.
That's
right. Yeah.
And as these bands, like those three bands you just mentioned, you can almost hear some of the chords they're playing on the electrics.
Yeah.
Without them.
And I think, like, I'm not really that into Sleeping With Sirens. It's just like you, it's not my jam. But I think that I think Kellan Quinn's a great singer. And Hands Like Houses for the same reason. They're just not heavy enough for me. But they definitely do have a couple that are really good, and they appeal to that they're like the more accessible version of the more accessible version of the band that we're talking about now. Like the next
step. That's the step.
Back into the gateway, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, so basically you go like Katy Perry, Nickelback, Sleeping With The Sirens, and then these guys.
No, it's reaction videos, then Katy Perry.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so, beautiful.
You were saying the bands that you think.
Yeah, and like. I do get – not really similar bands, structurally completely different and a different ballpark of music here, but the vocals, Mike Champa, his vocals remind me a lot of Jake from August Burns Red.
Yeah,
very, very similar style, similar range from what I can hear. And quality, like, I think he's right up there with Jake's.
Jake Lowe's is fucking good. I've always heard him as a little bit more higher pitched.
Yeah.
But I guess I'm equating that to him live, because he's live. He's a little bit more higher pitched.
Yeah,
not like knocked loose high. Like that guy's really high pitched, but like that's just that upper sort of back of the throat kind of scream.
Yeah,
but yeah, no, I can see that in the studio.
And that's what got me as well. Is that there's this one part, I think it's at the end of the first chorus leading to the second verse, and Mike just lets out this almighty high pitched scream, and that screamed Jake Lowe to me. That's the kind of vibe I got there, and it was
Did you say your similar things?
No, I just kind of hoping you wouldn't call me out for that. I don't want to say them because we've already talked about them. But Wage War,
That is so similar. It's uncanny.
Yeah.
And so what that goes to show is that when Julian finds a band that sounds right up his alley, he's like, "Oh, put it on the playlist."
Yeah, pretty much. I think wage war, like they're starting to get popular, but they're not super massive yet. So I think that's sort of like an in-betweener. I don't know. If I had to say, you know, it's hard. There's so many fucking bands I know, and I can't think of a single one of them. But once we stop recording, I'll
you have hundreds.
Like, oh, there's 10 of them.
Yeah.
So I just say like wage war for now.
Beauty.
Or, you know.
And it is a bit of a shame because he is a great singer, a lot of power in his voice, a really good sound. You can understand what he's saying a lot of the time. And it's a shame
even that though he's growling, yeah.
Yeah, it is a shame that he has left the genre, but there's a lot of people that'll pick up the spot that he's left, you know. And he's moved into rap, and I guess you can't really scream in rap music, can you?
It's a bit, I
hear some bits and pieces with raps that have like screams in them for passion reasons, but
I've seen some bands back in the day. You know, there was a period, I mean, it still happens, there was a period though where people would like try and just mix metalcore with anything to be like edgy.
Yeah.
I'll never forget them. There was this band, they were called Broken Side. Like Broken and then CYDE. I'm fucking calling them out right now. Like, fuck them, right? They had this, it was like electronic rap with like really, really whingy style, first album asking Attack Attack. You know, like that Stick Sickly song, that really heavily auto-tuned, vocal cleans with like screams over like a really, really shitty kind of techno rap beat. And it was fucking horrific. And it was just like you're trying way too hard to just mix too many things together. Like,
sure, be creative, but we can also have an opinion about it.
You've got to be – if you're going to scream in a rap song, you've kind of – you've got to really pick your place. That's
interesting.
Yeah.
But while I was reading about him moving on and going into rap and stuff, and reading these lyrics as well, how they're quite simple, sure, they're passionate, and that's what gives them their edge. But the whole thing is like lyrical diversity because this he does write good lyrics. And I know – Mike Shemin didn't write all the lyrics for all their songs, did he? He wrote a few.
That's not sure who wrote all of them.
I know the guitarist wrote some for this album, but he's wrote a few as well. But now he's moved into the rap game. And The thing about rap, I'm sure you guys would know.
He just dabbed. Just so you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Dab alert.
So
that's two cardinal sins we've had. It's my turn to fuck up next, isn't it?
Yeah, so the thing about lyrical diversity in the music, some people are like really attracted to the depth and the meaning of the lyrics and blah, blah, blah and all that. But if that is the case, obviously rap would be the genre for you because there's some studies that show, and I'm sure you guys have read these, that rap itself has the most diverse lyrics used the least frequently. So like the most words and then not repetition. And and the opposite of the scale is pop. Pop has...
Well, because a chorus in a rap song or a hook is the only thing that's repetitive, really.
Yeah, exactly.
In generic terms.
Yes, that's right. And so pop on the other end of the spectrum has a lot of repetition and not a huge amount of words.
No.
And then up there is country and metal have the lyrical diversity, right? They're a bit higher than pop. But it's quite bunched up there.
Yeah.
And when it's rap is the real outlier. That's where like the real like skill and talent for lyrical diversity lies. And I like good on him if he's gone to do that. I hope... Like reading the lyrics here, I know he didn't do these ones, but some of the other stuff that he did do, you can see that like, oh, he's got a bit of a skill for the, you know, a bit of a wordsmith, and you know, good luck to him.
Of course. Yeah.
And kudos to rappers too. I mean, from a writing perspective, that would be some hard work coming up with that many lyrics. Like every song you do is like a fucking essay.
Yeah,
like,
it's a novel.
But I think that kind of works for them too. You know, I like words and I've sort of got an extensive vocabulary that I never fucking use. Humble brag. But it's sort of they've got more at their what's it called when you've got things that you can use. They've got more at their
disposal.
Thank you very much. Because they're not trying to scream.
Just talking about his vocabulary.
Yeah, exactly right. That always happens to me. They've got more at their disposal. So like a polysyllabic song has more to offer because they don't have to try and it's their normal rapping vocal style. So they've got all these words they can rhyme together. So I think that kind of helps. You've got a bigger palette that you can choose from. Whereas with this, you've sort of like with uncleans, there are some things you just can't do in an unclean vocal style. You can't like rap, you can't really quickly, effectively. Yeah,
you should not scream really quickly.
No, like imagine that part in Rap God by Eminem where he does 100 words in 16 seconds. Can you imagine trying to like death growl that? Flat stick on like a 35 degree day on Warped Tour.
I want to see that done. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Anyone, if you can like scream Rap God, send it to us.
I'm going to YouTube tag us. I'm going to search for that after this pod. Thank you.
That's right. So I think the broader your vernacular, the more effective you can be as a lyric writer in the rap sense, but not being part of the rap game.
Yeah. But some words are just so hard to make sound metal, I guess, as well. It's like
exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You don't want to scream the word like beautiful. don't know.
Can you think of anyone, like, I'm just trying to think now, any lyrics I've heard.
That what they make
with
you
the,
cringe?
With, no, with the word beautiful.
Yeah. I've heard beauty used a fair bit.
Beauty in like Medusa and stuff like that. But anyway, we're getting sidetracked.
Yeah, so just cut the shit, boys. We'll go to the next step. Do you want to talk about this one or that one? What are the MVP?
MVPs look, first.
Obviously, what we're all going to say is in this song, Mike Ciampa is going to be the MVP, probably, right? Unless someone's got something different. He carries say this Mike song. Ciampa, he carries the song with these like brutal growls, and that's basically it.
Yeah, and I'm going to say, yeah, Mike Ciampa for sure is the MVP. He stands out. He carries the song in this case. I'm going to give an honorable mention to, I think it's just either a dub of some description or maybe they got guest musicians in, but in the breakdown, the bridge breakdown, the orchestra and the, like the church choir stuff, they've got going. Oh,
yeah.
Really cool. Really, powerful. Really cool. Yeah. Love it. Just to
dun, 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 yeah, that.
Yeah, and then you listen really carefully to that church choir underneath.
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, just like listen carefully. It's really, really cool. Like,
so shout out to the keyboard that played those synths.
But Mike still wins.
Yeah. I want to say the drummer because I'm biased towards drummers because across the course of the record, he's got a lot of fucking chugs to do and he's got a lot of chugging patterns to remember. Now, they're not super intricate, like between Backstabber and Mark My Words. They're not super intricate, and I think that's what would make it more difficult because you're like, okay, fuck, it's like rolling fours, like da-da-da-dun, 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 but like, am I doing this? Am I putting an extra one here? I think that would just get fucking confusing after a while. Like, at least with
– at least your spot.
Yeah. Really? Yeah, you'd be like, fuck, you end up playing a different song.
Yeah.
So, like, I think, you know, all around they're a good unit, but I'm going to have to say it's between London, Snetsinger, the bass player, and Mike Ciampa because just playing guitar and singing is fucking hard. So,
you wouldn't know. Can't do it. No. All right, bangs.
Bass especially is particularly hard to play and sing because you know you got the more kind of complex rhythms. You got to focus on the rhythm and sing guitar. Yeah. Often you're just strumming along.
Yeah,
Because polyrhythms are hard for the brain to learn.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. I was going to mention it before. It still blows my mind how you'll see bass players. They'll be doing like a breakdown, right, like chugging pattern. And their arm is just flying up and down over the string, right? So, like, if you think about – you can't see my hands. You've got to come in on an angle to hit the string and then go up on an angle again to miss the second string.
Yeah.
And you're going in like a very open V pattern like that. And they're just, like, doing, like, real big strokes like that. And I'm just like, how the fuck do you just, like
– you're
missing every string except the top one.
No, you use your other fingers to stop them and pull them out of the way.
You mute the bottom three strings.
Yeah, whatever you're not trying to eat, put your other
smash the fucking – okay, maybe I was wrong then. I thought there was some skill involved there.
Fuck! So.
All right, MVPs. Oh, no, sorry, bangs.
How many bangs?
Who's going first?
We'll let you go since
I guess since I'm speaking, I might as well just go. Yeah. The song, as we stated, has been on the playlist for a fucking long time, which is good. So it's a veteran of the bangers list. At first, I wasn't so sure, but I think like with any song, you know, if you give it a few listens, let it grow, and you start to notice things that you hadn't noticed before. You know, for instance, the choir
I
just mentioned a couple of minutes ago. I'm going to give it a 7.
Damn, that's pretty high. See, I was going to say 6.5 because I didn't want to, like, compare it to some other songs I've given, like, 7s that I like more. Yeah, so
well, – but it's a rating for a different reason as well.
Yeah, you know, it's –
like, Spiders by Slipknot would be better than this song, but you shat on and gave it a 2.
Exactly. So it's a whole personal preference.
Everything's personal preference, that's right.
And sometimes when I'm having a bad day or whatever, I'll whack this song on just to be like, you know.
Yeah. It's music that serves a role in your life. And I think any kind of music that serves a role in your life is worth having, despite the skill or lack thereof that went into making it.
Yeah.
It's a very critical way to explain that.
But it is, but it's fair enough.
So, you're 6?
Yeah, 6.5.
6.5. This song came to me at a point in life where I was having an issue with someone in my life, like a friend. So, for that, I'm going to give it like a 7.5, because... Like, music that helps you get through shit is worth listening to, again, no matter what.
Definitely.
Like, how hard or easy it is to play for your neckbeard fucking friend that listens to prog metal only and has, like, a black beanie, thick-rimmed glasses and a fucking beard that looks shit. Because we've all known people like that, and fuck them. So, yeah, 7.5, just because in the true spirit of what this is, it fucking bangs. It like, you can turn this up absolutely flat knacker. You can't do that with Spiders. You can't do that with Hang the Mason. You can just crank this and everyone knows that you're just...
From the very first lyric in the song, just, you know what you're in for. It hits hard. It's like, it's amazing. What does he say, boys? He just says, you're fucked now.
That's
boom. Straight into like breakdowns and shit. It's it's really good and powerful. I do love it.
Yeah.
Definitely
check
it out.
It's what this list is all about at the end of the day, right? It's how it all began. So. Yeah.
Sharing shit that's good.
So honorable mentions, I'd say, off this one just quickly. Backstabber is a really good one because it's got this weird kind of really filthy dubstep breakdown at the end. Normally, I'm not a fan of that, but I think they just do that one particularly well. But again, sort of similar lyrical content, but just all around good fun.
Yeah,
so,
like we did talk about it, is a banger as well. Look, if I'll just say something real quick. You can talk to us on Twitter. You can see the playlist on Spotify. Listen to it on Apple. You can listen to us on Apple if you really want to.
Have we got it on Google Play?
I don't know what that is. Do we? Maybe.
We should look into that.
We should. Anything else you boys want to say before we wrap up for this episode?
No, I'm good.
Beauty.
Said what I want to say.
Beautiful. Thanks, everyone. We'll talk to you next week. Cheers.
Peace.
Cheers.